In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are always struck by the collect of today's Mass every year. On this day, we have the collect of the Mass, which sounds very much like a feast day. The prayer of today's Mass is, "May the happy feast of thy saints Cosmas and Damian glorify thee, O Lord, for on this day in thy wonderful providence thou didst give glory to them and help to us." Today, the Station Church is at the Church of Saints Cosmas and Damian in Rome. We've spoken about this in past years, but the Stational Church is the church at which the Pope would go to celebrate Mass since ancient times, going to a different church each day of Lent. And it is because today is the Stational Church that we speak of it as a solemnity, even, of the holy martyrs Cosmas and Damian, those great healers, patron saints of physicians, which is why we have the gospel that we do today, the Gospel of St. Luke, which begins by telling us that at that time Jesus rose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, meaning Simon Peter. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a great fever, and they besought him for her, and standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she rose at once and began to wait on them. As we have learned now during Lent, if we have the Gospel of St. Luke, it is quite likely that our commentator will be the great St. Ambrose, and so it is today from his admirable commentary on the Gospel of St. Luke. And it is tied closely to the epistle that we have today, the warning from the prophet Jeremiah, warning the Jews against placing hope simply in the building of the temple. It is at this time during Lent that we are warned, especially this week and all the masses of this week, against the mere outward observance of the Pharisees. We will not be able to place our trust entirely in that. By all means, our religion is not a mere personal thing. It requires, indeed, great outward observances. And we must come to church. We must partake in a public way in the true worship of God. Nevertheless, this is of no avail, as the prophet warns us today, and as we learn also in the gospel. It is of no avail if we have not cleansed our hearts of the fever of sin that rages within them. For that is the sense that St. Ambrose chooses to comment upon today. He marvels, first of all, at the tenderness of our Lord, that this is just after he has healed a sick man that he now turns to heal the ailing mother-in-law of Peter. He says, first, he healed a man, for this is how it was recorded early on now in St. Luke's Gospel. First, he heals a man because man was the first to be wounded by sin. It was man's rebellion which led to the downfall of mankind. But then he says, turning to the one who was beguiled by the devil, the one who sinned through infirmity rather than through malice, as was the case with Adam. And so now he heals a woman, the mother-in-law of Simon Peter. But he wishes us to dwell, considering this allegory, he wishes to think especially on the moral sense, that as our Lord healed this woman of a physical fever, he even says he rebuked it so that this fever would leave her, so too we beg of our Lord that he may rebuke the fever that is within us. In so doing, St. Ambrose goes through the litany of the deadly sins, explaining that this is what the grace we must ask of our Lord this day, that if we wish to be here in church, to partake of the sacraments and true worship, With pure minds and hearts, we must beg of him to rebuke this fever which dwells within us, the fever of lust, of envy, of pride, and of wrath. And he may purify our hearts, cleanse them, and humble them, so that his Spirit may dwell within them, and that, thus healed from the malice of sin, we may partake worthily of his holy mysteries. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.